Homily 44, Jesus and Women, again. When the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman. A careful reading of Luke's Gospel reveals that he pays special attention to women. It cannot be by accident that stories about a man are frequently paralleled with stories about a woman. We hear of an angelic appearance to Zachary, and then of one to Mary. The righteous man Simeon is described at the temple, and then the prophetess Anna. The centurion's servant at Capernaum receives healing, and then the widow of Nain's only son is restored to life, to name but a few such companion stories. Moreover, the women often show a deeper faith and love than the men. Mary's faith, with her quiet readiness to receive God's word, is greater than Zechariah's. Simon of Cyrene is drafted to help Jesus carry the cross, but the daughters of Jerusalem spontaneously mourn and lament Jesus' suffering. One mass gospel reading from Luke introduces us to several devoted female followers of Jesus. Strikingly, Luke even gives us names when he can. Mary Magdalene, whom Jesus cured of her 7 demons, Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, the king's most trusted official, Susanna, about whom we know only that Jesus had cured her of some infirmity, and many others who are sources provided for Jesus and the 12. I have the sense that these women saw what needed to be done to support Jesus' mission, and they did it. They had learned much from being wives, mothers, and widows. They were practical, people with practical wisdom. Jesus may have told the 12 to take nothing on the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no tunic. But these women within their families had observed on more than one occasion the foibles of their sons and husbands, whom they knew would need support. Thus, the women decided on a more sensible approach than is attributed to Jesus, just in case the logistics for the mission got more complicated than Jesus and the eager 12 had anticipated. I am reminded of the bumper sticker, "Behind every successful man stands an astonished woman." Luke never exactly calls these women disciples, but their wordless deeds show their pragmatic generosity and love. Because of Jesus' countercultural treatment of women and the Apostle Paul's statement that in Christ there is neither male nor female, Catholic women, from Christianity's earliest days, did charitable work not open to their pagan counterparts. Abbesses in the medieval period had more jurisdictional power than many bishops. Catholic women mystics throughout the ages often played a significant role both in church and secular life. Catholic women from time immemorial founded orphanages, hospitals, old age homes, hospices, schools, colleges, universities, and numerous other charitable organizations. The work that nursing nuns did on the Civil War battlefields amazed even the anti-Catholic President Abe Lincoln. However, the theologian Monica Hellwig wrote that in the history of the Church, women, unlike male ecclesiastics, have not ordinarily had titles that inspire awe and create psychological distance. Leadership of domination was frequently not open to them. As an unintended but beneficial consequence, women were often in a better position to notice what was being left undone and who was being left out in the pastoral practice of the institutional church. Helwig maintained that it was frequently women who noticed the need for the care of the poor and the sick that led eventually to acceptance of the idea that each society, each nation, is responsible for universal health care. I think, for example, of the Dominican Sisters of the Poor visiting homes and even founding Calvary hospitals for the care of the poor and terminally ill cancer patients. The impressive work of the Little Sisters of the Poor, Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Charity, astonishing. It was primarily women who began the small initiatives of schooling for the children of the poor, including the orphaned and the homeless, leading eventually to almost universal literacy, public school systems, and a general belief that education is a basic right for all. I recall fondly Sister Mary Paul of the Sisters of the Good Shepherd. Years ago, she was interviewed on radio about the new model for foster care that she had designed. The city of New York decided to adopt her model for its homes. The admiring interviewer asked Sister, "How did you ever come up with such a revolutionary plan?" And she replied, "Well, really, it's just common sense." Helwig also emphasized that it has so often been women who have motivated concern for peace, especially because they are mothers and see the costs of war through maternal eyes. It has been characteristic of the lives of noted Christian women to strive for peace and reconciliation of hostile parties. Their motivation has welled up from their compassionate horror of the pain and suffering and bereavement that war causes, often to those who have the least stake in its outcome. One may think, for example, of Elizabeth of Hungary, Catherine of Siena, Dorothy Day, Women's International Peace Quilts. All such initiatives were like slow earthquakes in all of Western society. So, let us pray during this Mass in thanksgiving for the gifts that compassionate, prophetic, imaginative, and faithful women have brought to the Church of Christ and to humanity throughout the ages, from the days of the Virgin Mary, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, and their generous companions down to our present times. Let us do what Decree 14 of the 34th General Congregation of the Society of Jesus calls upon us to do, to give thanks for the leadership of Christian women who have given so much and continue to give, often through costly struggles, and in particular for the leadership of women religious who have been pioneers in so many ways in their unique contributions to the mission of faith and justice. The history of the Catholic Church in America cannot be written without writing the history of what nuns have done here. May we be as selfless, compassionate, competent, and creative as they in our following of Christ and service of others.